ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 So this is Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, texts 4 and 5. The last time I spoke from this here, we spoke about intelligence and knowledge. And the last time I spoke in Boston, we spoke about freedom from doubt and delusion. These are the qualities Krishna gives that he declares were all created by him. And we explained the last time we were here why Krishna is now delineating each of these qualities so that we will be able to see how Krishna is personally present in all aspects of our life. And the more we see how Krishna is present in even in these qualities and in the other manifestations he describes in this chapter, then it will increase our appreciation of Krishna. And we gave the example, just as we found out a person, an acquaintance of ours, is an extremely wealthy person, and we never knew that, but as soon as that little extra information becomes available to us, it increases our appreciation. So in the same way, Krishna is now going to increase Arjuna's appreciation by describing how he is manifested in these various qualities. So, and we also explained the importance to see how each and every one of these qualities is connected to Krishna from a Krishna conscious perspective, because taken by themselves, they're not necessarily Krishna conscious qualities. But when we see how each of these qualities exist in relationship to Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada has brought to light each of these qualities here in this commentary, then it will help us to remember Krishna and, as we said, increase our understanding of him. So with that brief introduction to these two verses, I'll read the verses, the translation, and then we'll continue in the purport. Budhir jnanam asamoha kshama satyam dama shama sukam dukam bhavo bhavo bhayam cha bhayam eva cha ahimsa samata tushtis tapo danam yasho yasha bhavanti bhava bhutanam Mata eva pratag vidha. Translation: intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, nonviolence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame, and infamy, all these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. Actually, I've not read very much of this commentary, so I will just read again, beginning from the beginning, and then I'll continue to read where we left off. The different qualities of living entities, be they good or bad, are all created by Krishna, and they are described here. Intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective, and knowledge refers to understanding what is spirit and what is matter. Ordinary knowledge obtained by a university education pertains only to matter, and it is not accepted here as knowledge. Knowledge means knowing the distinction between spirit and matter. In modern education, there is no knowledge about spirit. They are simply taking care of the material elements and bodily needs. Therefore, academic knowledge is not complete. Asamoha, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely he becomes free from bewilderment. Nothing should be accepted blindly. Everything should be accepted with care and with caution. Now I will begin from where I left off, speaking about kshama, or tolerance. Kshama, tolerance, and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. That is all that is said so far on that topic of tolerance and forgiveness. But we can say a little bit more. Chaksho Uminitam Dina Tasma Shigurinaha Ukam Karoti Vachula Pangum Langaya Teganim Yad Kripa Tamaham Vane Shigurinina Taro Nama Om Vishnu Kadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Itinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Yavishesha Sunyavadi Pastichade Satanane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaiti Gadad Harshi Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Tolerance. Actually, Prabhupada puts them together, tolerance and forgiveness. I remember, well, specifically, I guess, tolerance has to be practiced in so many areas in life. I remember, as I oftentimes say, the very first verse I learned of Bhagavad Gita was in 1973, and it was, I believe it was in downtown Providence, Rhode Island. It was the day I shaved my head and went out in the streets to distribute Krishna conscious literature, and I found it was a very difficult experience because I didn't know what tolerance meant. And Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Spasha Stukontiya Sitoshna Sukha Dukada Agama Payano Nitya Spangs Tiksha Subharata, that the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in the course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one has to learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. I learned that verse because, first of all, because Krishna said it, and second of all, because I felt it was extremely relevant to what I was experiencing in that particular day, which was abuse. I had no exposure whatsoever to trying to introduce people to Krishna consciousness from what was perceived by many people at that time as something that was externally very, what's the word I can think of? No. Prabhupada said, first they will ridicule us, then they'll persecute us, and then they'll accept us. So Prabhupada said that about us, that in the early days we were expecting to be ridiculed. Because Westerners in the early 70s were not very accustomed to seeing people in bedsheets on the streets with shaved heads. And that's usually how we were perceived. And on that particular day, ironically, it was the day that I first shaved my head, and I had extremely long hair. And we didn't have any clippers in those days. So the devotee who shaved my head, Srinath Prabhu, he had to take scissors and cut everything off. And then he used a razor, and it looked like I had been in a battlefield. You know, these little septic sticks you put on your face? Well, I put it all over my head to get it to stop bleeding. And needless to say, I was a sight. So I experienced what Prabhupada was talking about at first. They would ridicule us, and it was very difficult. And I felt some people might question, as they did, what are you doing out here? And I began to question it myself. So I learned this verse, Matra Spasha Stukonteya Sitoshna Sukadukada. Krishna says, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. So just as the winter and summer seasons appear and disappear on their own accord, Krishna says that our perception or our experience of happiness and distress, they arise from our sense perception, and they actually have no connection with reality. And that's how I was trying to see it. I was trying to see that actually what these people are saying, how they're treating me, they don't see me. They see something externally, but they don't see me, and they don't understand why I'm here and why I'm doing this. And therefore, it really requires some internal conviction. And when I found that conviction, that I know why I'm here, and I know why I'm doing this, then tolerance became much easier. And temporarily, on that particular day, wasn't that I was fixed in realization. But time to time I would kind of phase into that realization temporarily to give me some temporary relief. But tolerance, Prabhupada says here, tolerance means that, and forgiveness should be practiced. It means that we should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. Forgiveness can be included in this. There's a verse in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam spoken by, I believe it was Jamadagni Parasuram. And he described that the quality of a Brahmin, that one of the most illuminating qualities of a Brahmin is the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Lord is very pleased with those who are forgiving. Jamadagni said this to his son Parashuram, when he found out that his son Parashuram actually had killed one of the kings who had stolen his Kamadeva Khan cow from his ashram. And because Jamadagni was not very conscious at that time, he was actually sitting in meditation and did not properly receive him, something similar to what happened with Parikshit Maharaj and Shami Rishi. Anyways, so Jamadagni quoted this verse to his son, and he said that the Supreme Lord is very pleased with those who are forgiving of others. And forgiveness is something that is an important quality. One has to learn to forgive. Especially Prabhupada talks about minor offenses. Although we may see examples in the Shastra of enlightened devotees who are completely capable of forgiving major offenses. I mean, because that was their level of enlightenment. That's why Prabhupada says minor offenses, because he understands where we're at. We're not Haridas Thakur, who can forgive the causing, who sent his guards out to beat him in 22 marketplaces to have him killed. And although these prison guards took Haridas Thakur throughout the marketplaces and beat him severely, Haridas Thakur was extremely forgiving of them. Not only that was he forgiving, but he felt compassion towards them, because as described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the prison guards were ordered by the Qazi to beat him and to kill him. And he was taken through all the different marketplaces so everyone could see at that time what happens to those who give up their he was born in a Mohammedan family, and he gave that up to practice at that time, which is chanting the holy names of the Lord, which he was always chanting the names of Krishna. So the Qazi and the Mohammedan government were very intolerant of his brazen and public display of chanting the names of Krishna, although everyone knew he had been born in a Mohammedan family, so they told him to give it up. And he said, "You can cut my body to pieces, but I'll never give up the chanting of Krishna's names." So then that's when the Qazi ordered them, take him to the streets and have him punished, take him to the marketplaces so that everyone can see what happens. And Haridas Thakur was just simply continuously chanting the holy name of the Lord and was not affected by the beatings. And he would not die. And after 22 consecutive marketplaces, he perceived anxiety and distress, and the prison guards were beating him. And he asked them, "Why are you in so much anxiety?" Imagine. Why? This is a symptom of a Vaishnava. I'll tell you another story in this connection. Yes, I'll tell it now and then I'll come back to it. It's a nice story. It's short. It reminds me of the story of my godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj. And Sridhar Maharaj, he departed from this world in 2004 in Mayapur. He had cancer of the liver. And he came to Mayapur. It was the year that we installed the Panchatattva deities, and he felt that he had a strong desire. He wanted to be present during the installation of these big Panchatattva deities. Krishna fulfilled that desire for him. And many of the godbrothers knew that he was going to depart. And we were all thinking of different ways of how we could render some service to him. So I happen to know that Sridhar Maharaj, many times, he really liked when I would chant for him, when we would chant. And when I greeted him in Mayapur, I embraced him and said, "Maharaj, how can I serve you?" He said, "Will you please come and chant for me every evening?" And I said, "Maharaj, every evening? 24/7, I'm yours." And he said, "No, evening will be sufficient." And then, I would go into his room with many devotees. We had kirtans in his room every evening. And I wasn't leading every evening, but many evenings I was. And one particular evening, these kirtans were taking place during the GBC meetings at the same time. And the GBC meetings usually went all day long, and then after the GBC meetings, we would go to the kirtans in the evening. On this particular day, I had a terrible headache from the meetings all day. So I sent a message to Maharaj. I said, "Maharaj, please forgive me tonight. I won't come. I have a terrible headache. But I'll be there tomorrow." So I sent the message to his room, and then I went off to my room. And then I started to think along the way. Here's my godbrother lying in bed, you know, with a very diseased body. He's welcoming all the devotees in the room, having kirtan. He couldn't even stand up during the kirtans. He would lie in bed and he would dance with his arms. That's how, and the devotees would get very enlivened to be with him. So I started to think, I have a headache. What's a headache in comparison to what he's experiencing? So I said, I'm not going to go back. I'm going to go to the room and chant with Shri Maharaj. So I went into the room, and the room was filled. There must have been about 50 devotees there. I walked in the door, and Shri Maharaj looked up, and he said to me, "Come here." And so I said, "Sure." So I came over, and he said, "Sit on the bed." So he had me sit on the bed. And then he sat up, and he turned to his servant, Mayapur. He said, "Give me the tiger bone." He took the tiger bone, and he started massaging my head. And it kept on really hard. And I think, here's, he's lying in bed, deathbed. And what is he thinking of? He's thinking of my headache. And not only is he thinking, he went on, he continued to, I just had to sit there, he continued to massage my head for at least 20, 25 minutes. Just kept on massaging my head. And you can imagine how I felt. But I know it was his way of expressing his appreciation or whatever it might be. And he was oblivious to his own pain. He knows he was only thinking of my headache. And obviously it left an indelible impression in my heart. I could go on and tell many other stories that went on at that time. But it's just an example of what is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is somebody who doesn't think of his own suffering, but he thinks about sufferings of others. And Haridas Thakur, here he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, and he was looking at the prison guards, and he looked up and said, "Why are you with so much anxiety?" And so they said, "Because we've been ordered to kill you by beating you, but you won't die. As much as we're beating you, you won't die." And Haridas Thakur was said to them, "Oh, you want me to die?" And he said, "Okay, I'll die." And at that point, he actually, because he was always internally just chanting Krishna's name and absorbed in Krishna's name, and being so absorbed in Krishna's name, he was tolerating all of the whippings that he was being exposed to in his body from these prison guards. And then he went into completely internal consciousness, and it appeared externally to them that he completely accommodated their concerns and died. There was more to the story, but here's an example of tolerance. He was tolerating their offenses, major offenses. And not only that, but they thought he was dead. They picked up his body, they threw him in the river, and then his body floated ashore, and then he came back to external consciousness. He stood up, and he began walking and chanting loudly Krishna's names again. And when everyone saw Haridas Thakur chanting names, and all the people knew, they thought he had been killed, they went back and they told the Qazi that, Haridas Thakur is not dead. And when the Qazi heard this, he really came to that place, and he fell before Haridas Thakur, and he realized that, "You are a saintly person. I have committed a great offense. Please forgive me." And Haridas Thakur's response was, "I have no need to forgive you. You're completely forgiven, but there's no need." He said, "Actually, when I was taken into the prison house, and when you ordered me to give up this chanting, you were blaspheming Krishna's names. And I didn't give up my life right then and there. I'm the offender, because I should have given up my life right then and there on the spot, rather than to hear these blasphemies. So I'm the offender. I deserved everything I got." This is what his response was to the Qadi. I deserved everything I got. And therefore, forgiveness wasn't even on the table for him. But naturally he forgave. So, this is how a Vaishnava thinks. So a Vaishnava is tolerant and forgiving. So Prabhupada, because we're not Haridas Thakur, neither, Prabhupada said many times, should we imitate personalities like Haridas Thakur. So Prabhupada says, we should at least forgive the minor offenses of others. Look what the greater Vaishnavas are doing in forgiving the major offenses. Although, of course, Vaishnavas will forgive offenses to them, but there's another very important point, that because they're so surrendered to Krishna, that Krishna doesn't forgive them so easily. But that's another whole topic, which is a lecture in itself. And I know if I start discussing that one, Pierre is definitely going to see me going too long. But it's a fact. Shortly, yes, we could say there's examples, just like examples of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni, Maharaj Ambarish committed Durvasa Muni committed a major offense to Maharaj Ambarish. He invoked a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish for a very, very small thing. And Lord Vishnu, of course, did not tolerate. He could not tolerate it because his devotee was so fully dependent upon him. So therefore, Lord Vishnu invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, which not only was meant to destroy the demon, but also to destroy Durvasa Muni for having invoked that demon on his devotee, Maharaj Ambarish. So when Durvasa Muni went back, he went to Lord Brahma, he went to Lord Shiva, and he went to Lord Vishnu. He told Lord Vishnu, please give me protection. And Lord Vishnu told him, I can't protect you because you've offended my devotee. And then Durvasa Muni pleaded with him. He said, look, I'm suffering. You invoked the Sudarshan Chakra, certainly. And then the Lord said, no, I'm completely under the control of my devotees. The devotee is always in my heart, and I'm always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee is always thinking of me, and I'm always thinking of him. That I am completely under his control. I cannot act separately from the desires of my devotee. And then the Lord goes on to explain that the reason why he is so bound to his devotee is because the devotee is so dear to him, because the devotee never wants anything from the Lord. He only wants to serve him. And therefore, when the Lord tries to give something to his devotee, the devotee keeps on refusing, saying, I'm not interested, I just want to serve you. So the Lord has to, because he's a person, he gives something which he feels would be accepted by his devotee. So what does the Lord do? He gives his heart to his devotee. So when he gives his heart to his devotee, the devotee has everything. So then when Durvasa Muni came to the Lord and says, please, I'm suffering, have a heart. And Lord Vishnu says, sorry, I don't have a heart. How can I protect you? If you want my heart, you have to go to the devotee who has it. So you have to go back to Maharaj Ambarish. He has my heart. If he forgives you, then you have my heart. But he has it. Coming to me is of no value. So this, of course, is an example of how the Lord will not tolerate an offense committed towards his dear devotee. He's intolerant. But the devotee is always forgiven. So if the devotee forgives, just as Nityananda, when he was beaten by Jagai and Madhai, when they threw an earthen pot in his head, Lord Chaitanya came to invoke his Sudarshan Chakra to punish them and to sever their heads from the body. And Nityananda said, you've come to deliver the most fallen. If you do not deliver these two, then how will your glories be understood and heard throughout the entire universe? They're perfect candidates. They're the most fallen, so please deliver them. And Nityananda prayed on their behalf for the Lord to deliver them. He was forgiving, completely forgiving and tolerant. So these are examples, of course, of highly exalted personalities who And we can give so many stories from scripture. I mean, I have a lot of them that I can speak about. But the point is that generally we see in the examples of great devotees how tolerant they are of major offenses and how forgiving they are of major offenses. And we oftentimes quote that verse about Parikshit Maharaj, Tiraskrita Vipalabdha Kshatakshita Hataha Pina Sitapati Kurvanti Tadbhakta Kavayopihi. The devotees of the Lord is forbearing that even if they're cheated, cursed, neglected, disturbed, insulted, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. So the devotees are equipoised, not disturbed. So we should certainly tolerate minor offenses. Sometimes some minor offenses are committed unknowingly. We may not even be conscious. Sometimes we may say something. You know, a perfect example I think of sometimes, I've seen it so many times, that sometimes in the kirtan the devotees are chanting so, dancing so enthusiastically, and sometimes they put their hands up without being conscious of who's standing next to them. And they may slap somebody in the face. It wasn't intentional. It's a minor offense. But if, you know, if we see or experience that, we may think, you know, we just slap that. Watch what you're doing, Prabhu. Should be more conscious. It's a minor offense. We should immediately be forgiving of minor offenses. Or a devotee may say something unknowingly and not be aware that actually, I wasn't aware. I'm very sorry that I said that. We'd be forgiving. So the point is that the forgiveness and the tolerance manifests more ideally when it's on a realized platform of seeing everything connected to Krishna. Tolerance can be sometimes be perceived as, you know, gritting our teeth and tolerating it, something that's almost intolerable, and sometimes, you know, it may appear to be artificial. But real tolerance manifests on the platform of Krishna consciousness, that a devotee can tolerate so many difficulties when he actually sees Krishna manifested in all his difficulties. Taktenu kampam susamikshamana bhujana ivatma kritam vipakam hidvaka prapyavana nam namaste jivete yomukti padesa dhyapakam. In this verse, Lord Brahma says that one who seeks your compassion and tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions which he sees which are due to his own past misdeeds. This is how a devotee feels. Just as we gave the example, Haridas Thakur, he felt he was being punished in 22 marketplaces because he didn't give up his life when he heard blasphemy of the Lord. He considered it was due to his past misdeeds. He didn't consider it was the offense of the guards. So a devotee, tatenu kampam sushamikshamano, he tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions which he sees are just due to his own past misdeeds. He goes on glorifying Krishna because he sees that, yes, Krishna is very kind. He's put me in this situation to help me to remember him, to depend upon him, and to experience his protection. So therefore he goes on glorifying Krishna, and he goes on serving Krishna with his body, mind, and words. Then verse concludes that mukti padesa dayabhak, that for such a devotee who tolerates in this way, then liberation is his rightful claim. So the best manifestation of tolerance is when it's actually connected to Krishna. And therefore, this is how we should see everything here as described in this verse, as we began in the beginning by explaining that we should see how these qualities in and of themselves may not necessarily be Krishna conscious, but if we see how these qualities are manifested due to seeing Krishna's connection, then it is very easy to be tolerant, it is very easy to be forgiving, and it is very natural state of consciousness for a person who is situated in Krishna consciousness. So, kshama, tolerance and forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. The next is satya, truthfulness. And I don't know when I'll speak about that. Prabhupada talks about truthfulness in the very... I'll just read it, just so that we can end on something Prabhupada said. Prabhupada says, satyam, truthfulness, means that facts should be presented as they are for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others. But that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. Man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. There's a lot I could say. But as I said, I want to end on something Prabhupada said. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Mentioned about the
talent. Wonderfully, you give the example from the scriptures. But for the devotees, it is okay. But to whom we are familiar, like a wife and children, so sometimes it is very hard to
talk to them. Says familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes.
So what is the question? How do we tolerate for,
yes,
for those with whom we are very familiar?
Yes.
In the same way that we already described, as we said that it's if we're practicing Krishna consciousness with our family members, with those with whom that we're associating with, then the Krishna consciousness in itself will help us to be tolerant of their shortcomings. Of course, it may not be easy. Maybe sometimes people are in situations when even their immediate family members are not Krishna conscious. It makes it very difficult, and more difficult to be tolerant. But there are many very detailed instructions given in the scriptures on how we can still tolerate those with whom we have to be in constant physical proximity, even though they are not Krishna conscious, and not be affected by that. And it really means internalizing, at least ourselves, internalizing our understanding of how to be Krishna conscious in every situation. Bhakti, as I said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this. There's a lot of detail. I could go into it, but it would require a very long explanation as to how to understand it in the way that he's described it. But basically what he says is that when we're in the physical proximity of those with whom we have to, by our social duties, interact, he said that we'll be less affected by them if we withhold our affection and just simply keep our affection for those who are devotees and who vote. He said, because as soon as you give your affection to those who are not devotees, then the consequence could be that they will explode. They'll exploit that affection rather than reciprocate it, because they don't know how to reciprocate it. And then the more they exploit it, the more intolerant you become of them. So Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in the physical proximity of those who are not devotees, we should be very careful to reserve affectionate dealings. The dati pratibinati buyamakyati pujjati is described in Upadeshamrita. We should manifest those dealings with other devotees. And then we should interact with those who are not devotees as a matter of duty. And then we can be more detached because it is simply a duty. And that's kind of a general explanation of the way he gives of it. But the point is that we're able to become more tolerant because we're not investing that much in the relationship. We're just doing it out of duty. But if those who are Krishna consciousness and in Krishna consciousness and are associating them close in physical proximity, then yes, the tendency is familiarity breeds contempt. Then of course we have to learn how to tolerate by seeing Krishna in them and seeing our service that we have to overlook their shortcomings, and not only overlook their shortcomings but to see that it is my duty to help them overcome their shortcomings, and I have to teach them by my example. If I don't teach them by my example, then how will I help them to overcome their shortcomings if I only see only their shortcomings? A Vaishnava is someone who always sees the good. And he looks for the good, and he always tries to encourage whatever good he sees, whatever devotional inclinations they have, he sees that quality, and he fans it. And by fanning it and inspiring others in Krishna consciousness, then what happens is they also can overcome their shortcomings and bad qualities. And Prabhupada many times would quote the verse, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavachi Kinshana Savayagunais Tata Samasate Sura. This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That all the good qualities of the demigods, such as knowledge, religion, renunciation, will automatically become manifest in one who's engaged in devotional service to Krishna. All good qualities will automatically manifest. So if we help them by seeing their good qualities, fan those good qualities, and teach by our own example, by being tolerant of their shortcomings, that is the best way for them to overcome whatever shortcomings and bad qualities they have, rather than all the time just telling them, you do this, you do that, you do this, change that, I don't like this, this is too much, I can't tolerate it anymore, I can't handle it, that's it, we're getting near the end, forget it, I can't do it anymore. It just becomes cumulative, and we become less Krishna conscious. So, we have to base everything on Krishna consciousness and see the good qualities and encourage them for the good qualities. And we have to learn ourselves to internally tolerate whatever difficulties by seeing Krishna's put me in this situation for some reason. Whatever reason is, Krishna has put me here. He wants me to learn something. If I take this situation that Krishna's put me in and I try to see what Krishna wants me to learn, I will benefit. That's how a Vaishnava should be thinking. Otherwise, one has to live in constant duality. And one who lives in constant duality knows no relief to his suffering except temporary relief. It doesn't last very long. Krishna consciousness gives a relief far superior than the temporary relief of just blowing on the boil. Anyways. All right. I'll end here. Hare Krishna.